Welcome back to Gulf Coast Live. I'm Julie Glenn. Lee County Commissioners will be holding a public mining adoption hearing this Wednesday morning. They're considering changes to the county's comprehensive plan, specifically Lime Rock mining amendments. The main issue is the amendment to remove Map 14. That's the map in the county's comprehensive plan that shows where Lime Rock is mined, mainly in the southern part of the county. To begin mining for Lime Rock, a landowner has to become part of that map, which has a set of requirements, including a survey proving that there's a market for Lime Rock or its aggregate. Without that map and the associated requirements for entry onto it, a request to mine for Lime Rock becomes a zoning change instead of a comprehensive plan amendment. And environmentalist groups fear that that would lead to more mining and less control over where it happens. Lee commissioners are also considering changing the comp plan to allow for commercial development in areas that have been designated as wetlands, although those proposed changes are still under review by the state. Pro-development forces support the changes. Environmental groups say they'll further degrade the county's ecosystems and environment, including water quality. Joining me now to discuss these proposed comp plan changes is Julianne Thomas. She's a senior environmental planning specialist at the Conservancy of Southwest Florida. Julianne, thanks for coming in.
Thank you for having me.
And on the line, we're joined by Richard Grosso. He is a land use and environmental law attorney and professor at the Shepherd Broad College of Law at Nova Southeastern University in Fort Lauderdale. He was commissioned by Captains for Clean Water to look over the county's wetlands proposal. Richard, thank you for your time as well.
Thank you. It's good to be here. And I've actually been involved in both the impaired wetlands project on behalf of Captains and working with Florida Wildlife Federation related to the mining issues. So there's a lot going on with impacts to wetlands here in Lee County these days.
Yeah, a lot going on in little old Lee. If you'd like to add your voice to our discussion, give us a call now at 877-428-8255. That's 877-GCU-TALK. On Facebook, we're at WGCU Public Media, and on Twitter, we're at WGCU using the hashtag GCL. So, Julianne, I want to start with the Lime Rock mining vote that's coming up this Wednesday. It sounds kind of straightforward, just getting rid of a map designating where Lime Rock is mined. Are there people outside of that map that are looking to mine, and do those borders need to expand?
Yes, there are people. There are applications outside of the map overlay that they want to be added to the map in order to be able to mine their property. There's a map amendment in process right now for Troyer Brothers. Uh-huh. And in order to be able to do Lime Rock mining on their property, they would have to be added to Map 14. So right now, if you want to do new mining, Lime Rock mining, mm-hmm. in Lee County, you have to go through the comprehensive planning amendment process, change a future land use map, and become part of Map 14. And what the proposed language on Wednesday does is it takes away that obligation, that map goes away. You suddenly don't have to do that, and instead of having to go through the comprehensive plan change as well as the zoning change, you only have to do zoning for new mines.
So how hard is it to do zoning for new mines? Is it as restrictive or is it as difficult as getting onto Map 14?
There are different processes, and the public can be involved in different ways. Like, one of the main issues that we have with getting rid of Map 14 is that unless you participate in the hearing examiner process, you can't talk to the commissioners even at the board meeting. Only people that go to the zoning hearing and talk to the hearing examiner can talk to the commissioners during their board meetings. And we think it's, you know, Lime Rock mining is uniquely impactful. Like, I mean, you're blowing up land to take rock out, mm-hmm. and so we think that a land use as impactful as mining is something really important, and that the public needs to be able to directly petition their elected officials. And getting rid of Map 14 eliminates that option.
The public awareness is a little bit less when it's simply a zoning thing.
Public participation when petitioning elected officials is greatly reduced.
Okay. So that's an interesting aspect to this. So it seems like there are a lot of voices that are speaking out against these proposed changes. The Conservancy is included. Is anybody speaking out in favor of these changes?
The developer interests, people that want to do mining on their land, their argument seems to be that they wouldn't be moving forward with this if they didn't think there was a market for it. And so they don't want to have to jump through extra hoops of getting put on this map. They don't want to have to go through additional public scrutiny that a comprehensive plan amendment requires, because for a zoning change, it just goes to the board. For the comprehensive plan amendment, it goes up to the state agencies, then it comes back for a second hearing. And so it's a longer, more involved process. And they would rather have fewer public meetings because the public isn't generally in favor of mining. So they would rather not have to go to as many meetings.
I get that. Richard, one of those hoops that she's talking about is the current need for analysis into whether more lime rock mining is even needed based on basic supply and demand, right?
Right.
So is it normal to have to prove demand for a product before mining for it and other materials?
The state's land use law has, since it became law in the mid-80s, has always required that local governments allocate land uses based on some determination of need. The idea of the planning law is that we shouldn't be unnecessarily impacting natural resources, farmland, or having other bad impacts. So the idea of the law is that you should have some formula that determines how much of a certain land use you need for the next, say, 10-year planning time frame, and only allow that much. That applies to residential, it applies to commercial, and it applies to industrial land uses. So there's nothing particularly novel about that.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think part of the argument for this amendment change is I've heard people say that they are concerned about lawsuits being brought because of land use rights, where people are able to do what they want with the land that they own. Have you heard of any lawsuits that have gone forward with that and how those turned out?
Well, I know that county staff have been citing a couple of prior lawsuits that were brought by mining companies who had sought to change their zoning. They bought land that, in a way that it was zoned and you couldn't mine. They knew that when they bought the land, when they were denied a rezoning, they brought a lawsuit. Now, those cases happened during the time when the county was in the process of making changes to its land use plan, and so they involved these sort of unusual facts that the comprehensive plan's mining policies changed during the amendment process, so they had that extra wrinkle to them. But yet the county had these really strong defenses to those cases. In Florida, you don't have the right to buy a piece of land with zoning restrictions and then have the local government take those restrictions away, give you rezoning. You bought what you bought.
Yeah, you bought a cow field, and it was zoned agricultural.
And the county had, those were the situations in those prior lawsuits. For whatever reason, the county chose to settle those cases, even though it had what under Florida and federal law is a really strong defense. You bought agricultural land. That's all you're entitled to. In fact, you're not even entitled to that. Local government can change your zoning if there's a really good reason for it, as long as there's some reasonable use that's left. So I don't see that there's any property right at all for anybody to buy land today that's not zoned for mining and then sue the county when it declines to change the zoning map for it. That's pretty clear property rights law. It's kind of confounding that would be asserted as a reason to have to liberalize the mining allowances and the comprehensive plan. There's just never been that kind of property right in Florida to buy land and then have government change the rules for you after you bought it.
So it's my understanding that the amendment doesn't really impact the environmental regulations that mining companies have to obey. Julianne, is that right?
That's correct. It's not changing what's in the zoning code. So,
okay.
And that has to do with specifically how the mining takes place. This changes where the mining can take place and how, so in that way, it's sort of opening up locational standards, but the nuts and bolts of like how the mining occurs is in the land development code. Another thing that goes back to the need study that you were mentioning, one of the reasons why it's so important is that this is private property, and we have the public and the decision makers have no way of knowing how much lime rock is there or the quality of it unless a study is required as part of the application process. It's currently not required in the zoning code, and so it's really important before you allow a land use so disruptive and so impactful to make sure that what is there is needed and that it's of high quality to be used. And we can't know that until the property owner actually does a study, which is one of the requirements that they're trying to remove.
Okay, so that's one of the requirements of the, being allowed into Map 14, which is being proposed to be nullified, like
yeah.
gone.
Yes.
And so, but the zoning requirements don't ask for that type of a study to prove whether it's even worth it to tear up the land.
Correct.
What is it about Lime Rock mining that conservation groups have an issue with? How is it destructive? I don't really know what happens in a mine. Can you tell me?
Well, you blow up the land and you take out the aggregate. You grind it up and you truck it away. So you know right now, for example, for Troyer Brothers, it's a potato field. And so right now they grow potatoes, and they want to be able to blast holes more than 100 feet deep and dig out all of the lime rock, grind it up, and have it carted out on trucks up 82. So it causes a lot of problems. I mean, the blasting is problematic for neighbors. It's noisy. It shakes the ground. It causes problems with foundations and houses that are nearby. The dust is problematic. These are fairly, big explosions in order to get to all of the rock. And then the grinding up causes more dust. Mm-hmm. And then the truck traffic. Anyone who's been on 82 knows that we don't need more traffic on 82, especially large trucks.
Yeah. The stuff that becomes the dust, what is that stuff? Is that okay to breathe that?
That's an excellent question. Probably there are certain concentrations where it's not okay and certain concentrations where it is, and I'm not an expert in that.
I'm just curious. I'm just wondering. Richard Grosso, I don't want to run out of time. We only have about 9 minutes left. I mean, it sounds like a lot, but it's really not. I have you mainly to talk with me about Lee County's proposal to change how commercial development happens in wetlands, which we'll go into a bit. I just wanted to ask you a little bit about that part of this meeting that's coming up on Wednesday.
Well, there's a big, important parallel to both of these amendments. The legal authority that local governments have that nobody else has, no federal agency, no state agency, and the requirement of the planning law is that only the local government can say what goes where. That's through its comprehensive plan. And so whether we're talking about should we allow commercial or industrial development in wetlands, when we're talking about where should mining go? That Lee County is the only government entity that has the authority to do that. Both of these plan amendments would, would give up that authority. The impaired wetlands amendment, the county's plan would change to say, if some developer gets a permit from a state wetland agency, we will then pretend that wetland is no longer a wetland, and the wetland protections in the Lee plan will no longer apply. So even though Lee County is the only entity that has the authority to decide how important are our wetlands for our fishermen, for our people, for our way of life, what kind of land you should go in them, they will hand over that authority to agencies that are only allowed to look at straight up wetland impact versus mitigation. So that whole planning function will be completely gone relative to wetlands that the county would then say are no longer wetlands because someone got a permit from them. And the same thing with the mining amendment. Because of how intrusive lime rock mining is, having clear locational limitations is more important for mining than for anything else. And to take those limitations out of the comprehensive plan and leave it then to the vagaries of the case-by-case rezoning process is a huge problem. It's a huge problem in terms of this county's needs. It's a huge problem relative to the law. And both of these come at a time. I mean, you just had a segment on the estuary problems. The ecological problems that are translating to major economic problems for this part of the state are obviously front page news. It is a crisis. The idea that the local government with the planning jurisdiction over here would actually be weakening its wetland policies across the board and opening up more areas to mining impacts really doesn't make sense. It just doesn't add up when you look at the reaction. This would be the last thing you would have expected it to be an appropriate reaction. You would expect the local government, whose citizens and businesses are being hurt by our environmental degradation, would be looking to ratchet up its protections at this point, not weaken them.
Julianne corrected me. This wetland proposal is not on the table on Wednesday. It's just the Lime Rock one. Julianne, I'm wondering, where do the county commissioners stand on this at this point? Do you have any idea of what the temperature is?
I'm not sure. You know, we try to educate the commissioners and we try to talk with them. Obviously, we expect that as public officials, they're going to read everything that's submitted and they're going to listen to the public when they show up on Wednesday and, you know, before making their final decision. One thing we do hope is that I did meet with some commissioners this morning, two different ones, and one of the things that we stressed is that, you know, they can clarify what's in the LEAP plan without getting rid of Map 14. So if they think that Map 14 needs clear locational standards or different criteria, they can instruct their staff to do that. And that's what we are recommending that they do is, you know, make Map 14 stronger and clearer and make their intent for where and how mining occurs clearer through direction to their staff on Wednesday.
We just have a couple minutes left, but I wanted to bring in Robert in Port Charlotte, who had a question. Robert, we have a very small amount of time, but tell us what you're thinking.
Yeah, real quick. I did urban planning in a different state, and I was part of the city structure. I was a city planner, but we had one comment quickly. We had a situation with mining, a kind of ordinances. You could see that people were vacillating, and the city actually decided to bring a district action against the mining company to stop them and block them. More importantly, though, is the question about the groundwater effects, subsurface leaching, and, again, adding to what your first guest said is adding to our potential problem with nutrients in the soil. And that's maybe the bigger question is what will this whole review process do in an impartial scientific way to understand those effects? And maybe we just don't know. Maybe that's a reason to wait. But anyway, thank you for taking my call.
Thanks, Robert. I'm glad we got you in here in the last couple of minutes. Julianne, can you tell me real quickly a little bit about some of the impacts beyond just the little plot of land that's getting mined?
Well, it impacts all the neighbors. It impacts how water drains. Obviously, I'm not a hydrogeologist or a hydrologist of any kind, but if you dig a big hole, water's going to run into it.
And I'm wondering about the groundwater, like, underneath.
Right, and they're supposed to monitor for that, but this a lot of the applications coming in, like for Troyer Brothers, it's right next to the airport conservation lands. And so one of the things we're really concerned about is if it's going to have drawdown from those, if that water is going to, you know, flow into the big pits being formed. And that's hugely problematic.
So this Wednesday, the public is invited to have comments?
Yes.
All right. And that's Wednesday morning?
At 9:30 at the old main courthouse in downtown Fort Myers.
And Richard Grosso, what we're talking about is wetlands use for development. Where is that standing right now and where could that be heading?
Has been sent to the state for compliance review with state law.
All right, so this sounds like another thing that we should keep our eye on. Right now it's sitting at the state waiting to come back to the county for them to potentially make changes.
Yes.
All right. Well, that is all the time that we have for today's show, but I really want to thank my guests. They're both very complex subjects, and so I'm really glad that you're here to help us kind of understand it. Julianne Thomas is a senior environmental planning specialist at the Conservancy of Southwest Florida. Julianne, I want to thank you for your time.
Thank you.
And Richard Grosso is a land use environmental law attorney with whom I'm sure we will be in touch in the future. He's also a professor at the Shepherd Broad College of Law at Nova Southeastern University in Fort Lauderdale. Richard, thanks to you as well. I really appreciate it.
Pleasure to be here.
And I want to thank my earlier guest during our segment about the lawsuit filed by conservation groups over water releases from Lake Okeechobee, John Cassani from Calusa Waterkeeper, and Jacqueline Lopez from the Center for Biological Diversity. If you missed part of today's show, you can always hear episodes in their entirety on our website, gulfcoastlive.org, or you can subscribe to our podcast feed wherever you get your podcasts. Our show today was produced by Mike Canary and myself. Our director is Richard Chin Kui. Our social media coordinator is Tara Callaghan. Gulf Coast Live is made possible through the generous support of the the Elizabeth B. McGraw Foundation. For now, thanks for listening. I'm Julie Glenn. This is WGCU-FM Fort Myers 90.1, WMKO Marco Island 91.7 FM, NPR for Southwest Florida.